Welcome to Manga Cube, episode 122, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of November 17th, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mo.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, indeed. It is now winter.
It is? Oh, yeah, it's snowing for you.
Yes, it snowed up here for
it's
us.
It's cold over here for me. I mean, you know, western coast. No snow at all.
Yeah, you need snow. But yeah, it, you know.
You have no idea how the setting sun is actually worse than a blizzard. Trust me, I've never been in a blizzard, but it's just really hard to see because the sun's in your face and you're like, I can't see.
We get that too. But yeah, it snowed yesterday for us and then today it's still on the ground, so. Good times. All right.
Oh, yeah, I heard that in some places the snow fell so much that people are worried about flooding. I'm like, well, on the good side, you don't have to worry about wildfire suddenly breaking out in the middle of January. Because that was bogus when I heard about that last year.
that's not us. That's more East Coast. So, but yeah. Anyway, I think... All right, let's go ahead and talk about the Japanese comic rankings for November 10th through the 16th. And worth noting is that Aniplex has an ad up on Anime News Network for the Nisekoi Part Volume 2 DVD and Blu-rays. I am tempted, but at the same time, I'm not paying their prices. So, indeed. All right, what do we... Oh, Jesus, it's not opening... It's freezing on me. What's number 10 for you?
Okay, number 10 for me is The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 11.
Alright, so that means Volume 9. Number 9 is Re-Life, Volume 2.
8th place is Prison School, also known as Kangoku Gakuen, Volume 15.
7th place is Toriko, Volume 32.
6th place, Food Wars, also known as Shokugeki no Soma, Volume 10.
5th place, LDK, Volume 16.
4th place, Ajin, Demi-Human, Volume 5.
3rd place, Ane no Kekkon, Volume 8.
2nd place, Naruto, Volume 71.
Just goes to show that if you look at the numbers, it sold over about 761,000 copies over the course of 3 weeks. Just goes to show that no matter how much people say Naruto was the greatest ever, it still can't beat One Piece's sales.
It just resonates with those teenagers a lot, especially those who were teenagers when you started reading it.
I
started reading when I was in college.
Well, when the manga started, I was less than a teenager. So, but yeah, first
I saw
place.
The anime when I was a teenager.
Yeah. First place, My Love Story, Volume 7.
Because the anime debuted, I think. Or the anime was announced, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Alright, well that is the news for this week. Let's go ahead and talk about the New York Times manga bestseller list for November 2nd through 8th. And in 10th place, we have Naruto, Volume 67.
9th place, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 2.
Nisekoi, False Love, Volume 6 is in 8th place.
In 7th place is Black Butler, Volume 18.
In 6th place, Pokemon Adventures Black and White, Number 5.
5th place, Fairy Tail, Volume 43.
4th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1.
3rd place, No Game, No Life, Volume 1.
2nd place, Bleach, Volume 62.
And 1st place, Attack on Titan, Volume 14. Because as soon as people hear the new Attack on Titan volumes out in the United States, they go crazy for it.
Indeed. Alright, we've also got the North American anime and manga releases for November 16th through the 22nd. Mm-hmm. And for anime releases, we have A Certain Magical Index Season 1 Blu-ray and DVD complete.
Oh my goodness, I want that. Death Note Complete Series. Okay.
Yes. I couldn't become a hero, so I reluctantly decided to give a job Blu-ray Complete Collection.
Yeah.
And DVD Complete Collection.
Kiki's Delivery Service for the Blu-ray and DVD. Oh, sweet.
Night of the Tentacles DVD. Guess what that is. It was actually kind of funny because I was so used to the previous entry having two separate entries for the Blu-ray and the DVD. And for some reason, I started thinking, oh, look, Kiki's Delivery Service, DVD, and then it inserted the Blu-ray into the bottom line, but then my mind saw the, in brackets, adult, and I was like, wait, what? Japan, what the hell did you do to this? I was like, I don't like this new director's cut of Kiki's Delivery Service. No, but seriously.
Well, the original was a great movie. I remember watching it, and it's the one that
I think people know which one it is.
Okay, fine. Okay, you already said the hentai one. Yeah. One Piece season 6 DVD part 1 and part 2 uncut.
Yep, Princess Mononoke DVD and Blu-ray.
You almost said my real name. I was close.
Momo.
No.
Anyway, next one.
That's one of my nicknames, though, apparently, by one of my cousins. Tari Tari Blu-ray Complete Collection.
The Wind Rises DVD and Blu-ray, and just DVD collection. So that's another.
I watched that. There's an interesting premise to them.
Yes, that is one that I'm curious about. But all right, manga releases: Ani Imo Volume 1.
Okay, I thought the I almost sound like an E. You know.
That's European speak. Shut up.
Okay, The Tomb, Volume 8.
Devils and Realist, Volume 3.
Dragonar Academy, Volume 4.
Durarara, Yellow Scarves Arc, Volume 2.
Gangsta, period, Volume 4.
Godera Sora Nagihara, Volume 1.
Yeah, that's an interesting title. High School DD, Volume 3.
Higurashi, When They Cry, Dice Killing Arc, Volume 1.
Jack Frost, Volume 11.
Kokoro Connect, Volume 2.
The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, Volume 20.
Milky Way Hitchhiking, Volume 1.
Okay, you know, if I almost would have thought that was hentai. It's just a title.
Oh, dear.
Anyways. Monster Musume, Volume 5.
My Little Monster, Volume 4.
Noragami, Volume...
Wait. Sorry, I need to make this joke. My Little Monster, My Little... Okay, that's it.
Noragami Volume 2.
Alright, Oku, The Inner Chambers, Volume 10.
I don't know if it has nothing to do with what you were singing about, okay. Pandora Hearts, Volume 22.
Prophecy, Volume 1.
Real, Volume 13.
Resident Evil, The Marhawa Desire, 1.
You know, I kept reading that as The Manhwa Desire, and I swear I just wanted to punch whoever came with that title.
No. Next.
Soul Eater, Volume 23.
Soul Eater Dot, Volume 4.
Sword Art Online, Fairy Dance, Volume 2.
Terra for Mars, Volume 3.
Triage X, Volume 8. I think that one's actually an anime. Mm.
Whispered Words, Volume 2.
The Wolf Gift, Hardcover Edition.
Let's see, Excel World Novel 2.
Asura, this is for other releases. Asura Girl, a light novel.
Mm. A Certain Magical Index, Novel 1.
Mm, cool. Hatsune Miku, Project Diva F Second for the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita and PlayStation TV game. Mm.
Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, Nintendo 3DS.
The Sky, The Art of Final Fantasy, Novel, Volume 3, hardcover. Okay.
Super Smash Bros. Wii U.
I'm so jealous of those who have that game.
Yeah. Indeed. Alright then.
Yeah. But moving on.
Indeed. Alright, moving on. What other news do we have?
Hey, other news, very briefly. As we all know, the Evangelion Shinji Ikari Raising Project manga is going to end next summer. What? Next summer?
Huh. That is one of those ones that's kind of hard to read because, on the one hand, well, I don't know, because you can't find scanlations for it, and yet a crap ton of official volumes have been released, so I'm just like, oh, what do you know? That's kind of, yeah, from what I have read, it's basically, you know, just a comedy slice of life version of the series, and so it's fun, it's aight.
Apparently it's based off like a visual novel version of it or something, I think. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, so more of Evangelion spin-off. You know, you want to avoid the actual one that makes you really all go crazy and stuff.
Hmm. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I could either read the original or I could read the spin-off manga, which at some point I want to go over the spin-off manga, but
Speaking of more spin-off manga, we finally get to know what that One Piece spin-off manga is. It's a super deformed comedy.
yeah, well, that was
It's going
exciting.
to start on December 5th.
Yay. Does it say who it's focusing on?
It's focusing on the Straw Hat Pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why. Why can't it be, why can't it be the adventures of the other, the ones that we saw in all the little cover before we got to the actual characters again?
Yeah. That would actually be a good spin-off if somebody took those cover stories and actually fleshed them out.
Onesimaki, Makino, Kaya,
But
Genzuko.
no.
No, you won't even let people see BB. Gee, what the heck?
Yeah, he lets us see her all the time in
That is
covers,
true.
but it's like he won't give it a rest. I'm like, Oda, really? She was an okay character, but she wasn't that fantastic.
She didn't really have the ability to actually stand. I mean, yes. I mean, anybody's a friend of Straw Hats could be considered a part, considered a crew member. But in terms of fighting prowess, in terms of being survive on the sea, she wouldn't really make it as far. It's a good thing she stayed behind.
Indeed.
Besides, her kingdom was what came more important. I'm actually proud that she actually stayed behind.
Indeed. It makes for a nice story. Had you gone with him, I don't know. Would have been like,
Missed on the
well,
shot.
you,
What?
yeah, well, your reason for being in the story is gone.
Actually, that'd be kind of funny if she did win of them, and then all of a sudden Robin appeared, like, wait, this is kind of awkward now.
Yeah. I hope that at some time Oda draws that where they end up meeting and be like, ooh, yeah. Anyway, what other news do we have?
Okay, last bit of news. So Genichi's mangaka Shun Matsuen is going to launch Tokiwa Kitareri series. Wait, yeah.
Does it say what it's going to be about?
No, the picture just shows what we could probably think it might be about. Might be. It seems to be. Okay. Including the one shot that I mentioned before. The new series is going to be a school story. It's like a slice of life. I have no idea. It looks like it's a school story.
Indeed. Well, should be fun. Although I would be surprised if he's like goes through just completely serious, or just a completely regular slice of life school story, and then randomly some legendary martial artist shows up and starts training the main character. Just imagine Matsueno is just like, must write normal manga, punch
Yeah,
people.
I remember Madoka Box. It's like, okay, this seems okay. All of a sudden, what the heck is going on now? I don't know what's going on anymore. No, seriously, I don't even know what's going on anymore. I'm kind of glad that the series ended, because even though the creators probably could have continued on and do more stuff, it just got very, what's to say, very Japan influenced, and also very complicated and complex and convoluted. All sorts of C's. Oh, COs. There you go.
Indeed.
Complex. Hey, cool. I actually did it. No worries.
Yep. All right. What else do we
That's the last
have?
bit. That's the last bit of news, though. Yeah, that's it.
Yes. That's the last bit of news then.
Yes, that was it. There wasn't much. I mean,
All
there was
right.
other stuff like Naruto, but Naruto's over. I want to just move on from that.
Screw. What is this Naruto that you speak of?
Nay.
Why, and why do I get such a bad taste in my mouth when I hear that word?
The Assassin's Creed Unity glitches were freaking awesome, though.
Yes. All right. Well, it is time for us to talk about the one volume of manga that we're going to cover this week because it was the only one that was released, and we felt like not going overboard. This week we are talking about the Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 5.
Yep.
Indeed. Yeah. So this one is basically the entirety of this is the tournament is contains a good chunk of the tournament arc.
This is where you started getting into, I remember. I told you, and you're like, okay.
It's all good, but yeah, I do have to say there was at a certain point, not in this volume, but there was a certain point where it's just like, okay, this is getting to be a little much with the tournament. But I do have to say that with this one, with this one kind of shows me why tournament arcs are so useful and why they, if done properly, they can be used effectively mm-hmm. early on in the series. It's early. That, yeah, it gives you an opportunity to show off the character's fighting abilities, you know?
Ah, good point.
And so that's kind of what we get here, is we get to see all the, we get to see the fight, and especially it gives you an opportunity to have a fight between two main characters that would normally not fight. So the Bond versus Meliodas fight, for example, is pretty fantastic.
And you
get to see how, just how powerful both of them are, and you get to see who's more powerful and all that fun stuff. So you also get to see that Diane and Elizabeth trade places. Well, they don't trade places, but rather what happens is they come across a mushroom that shrinks them, and so
it totally feels like that a knockout, maybe a froze mushroom at some point. But hey, what should I do about how to put Diane into this?
Yeah.
Giant mushroom shrinks them.
pretty much. So it shrinks Diane down to human size, while at the same time shrinking Elizabeth to smaller than human size.
Like a Barbie doll size.
Pretty much. And speaking of Barbie dolls, there's a scene where this is the most blatant abuse of the, hey, if I don't draw the actual genitalia part of their on them, I can totally draw them completely nude, because as they shrink down, apparently they lose their nipples and their vaginas.
Yeah, they become dolls.
Granted, that's one way to show a naked character while at the same time not getting in trouble for showing, you know, the actual nipples and the other part. But at the same time, it just feels like lazy cheating, you know?
Yeah.
In that, if you're going to do nudity without showing the really naughty bits, then you might as well be creative about it. You know, like for example, well, him to a certain extent. But I mean, for example, one of the funniest parts in Fullmetal Panic Fumofu is the episode where they go to the hot springs, and you see all the creative ways that they hide the girls' nudity. Well, you still see that they are nude, but at the same time, the nipples and the other area is just constantly being covered by random stuff. Like, for example, someone will have their crotch covered by a shampoo bottle. Someone else takes a shampoo bottle. Oh, look, there's a bottle behind it. Or, for example, there's, in the foreground, there is a blade of grass with a drop of water about to fall off. And the blade of grass is covering the naughty bits of the girls, and then they move, but at the same time, the water drop falls off, causing the blade of grass to bounce slightly, therefore covering the naughty bits in the new position that the characters are in. And, you know, that stuff, as ridiculous and perverted...
You mean like Shigure in the very last arc of, Kenichi, right?
They didn't cover anything there. No, but you know what I mean. I mean, if you're gonna do the... They're naked, but they're not completely naked, because I still want this to be read by teenagers. You gotta at least be creative. This here was just straight up, yeah, these two characters are now naked, but we're not drawing the details.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I mean, I know a lot of manga do it, but at the same time, you just see it here, and you're just like, okay, this is just blatant, you know? A lot of times they'll draw, you know, someone will draw it from, you know, draw it from a different angle, from the side, and not draw in the details. You're like, okay, whatever. But then here it's just like, nope, full on frontal, and yet we're not drawing the details. So it's like, if you're not willing to commit, just, you know, maybe find a better way to cover up.
Maybe just cut the page out and just move on to the other page. I mean, it feels like that page was cut when I used to read them. Read the scandations, because I don't know why I never saw that page.
Really?
I never really saw that. Yeah, I don't remember that well.
Yeah, I don't. Well, honestly, I don't remember this either. Would have thought that I would have remembered it, but nope. But, yep, anyway, that aside, I think it is time for us to. Yep, I think. Let's see what else. There's other important stuff that we should probably talk about. Oh, yeah, Diane, now that she's human-sized, is participating in the fight, and she's fighting against one of the.
Hauser.
Yeah, one of the other knights, and they basically have, they basically have a good fight for the last couple pages, and you've got Hauser that uses wind powers that cut up Diane's clothes, and Diana, he's like, ah, this is fun, and Diana's like, no, it's not. So finally, good reaction. We also get a moment that's kind of interesting because. Diane basically says, "Captain, why don't you ever?" He's like, "Why don't you ever try to grope me, is or anything like that? Is it because you don't like me?" And then Meliodas basically says, "Hey, it's because you're important to me that I don't do that." You're like, "Oh, hey, he has some morals." But at the same time, Elizabeth is like, "Wait, is it because I'm not important to you that you keep groping me?"
I guess
Which.
I'll say that part, to be honest.
Yeah, which that part I thought was kind of poignant because it's like, oh yeah, that's a good question. Why does he act the way he does around her? And yet and that's the weird thing, he never stops, and I don't think that's ever really answered. I mean, he basically says, "Oh no, you're important to me, but I'm gonna cont but you're extra important to me. That's why I grope you." I'm like, "Wait, what?"
Is
So either you grope people because they're not important to you, or if they're important to you, you don't grope them, but if they're really important to you, then you. What? Yeah, I guess we can pretty safely
A couple
say.
of Mary, in case you're wondering.
Yes. Much experience. But yeah, I guess what we can say is that. Yeah, is that Diane is unfortunately in the friend zone. Which. Yeah, poor Diane. But fortunately, the current chapters seem to be rectifying the situation a little bit for her. Although I do love the part, yeah, when yeah, Diane, when Meliodas sees that Diane is shrunk down, she jumps into his arms, and she's like, "Oh, being held in your arms is a dream come true." And of course, you've got King who just freaks out. He's like, "No!" But yeah. But anyway.
Okay, so
Yeah.
what's the extra chapter?
Oh yes, the extra chapter where we get to see Guila and we get to see her backstory, which was the first step towards humanizing her a little bit because it's like, oh look, she has a little brother. Oh look, she just brutally murdered these guys that were being mean to her little brother.
They
So
were just
she
gonna try and kill him.
Well, yes, but at the same time, it gives us a bit of a hey, here's a sympathetic edge to her while at the same time keeping her as a dark character, which I think is, I think is a nice touch. It makes her
I totally agree with what she did, though, because I'm just gonna bring back what happened to Stealth Symphony. Even though that series was not great and Diego's not built as a great character, I still did not condone what the hell that one guy did in that flashback. I do not.
Well, yeah. But
It'll justify.
yeah. But anyway, we got that, and yeah, so basically, we managed to get a little bit of backstory for her while at the same time maintaining her the proper creepy levels. So,
Yeah, I can see why the current chapters kind of had her with kind of actually hint. I mean, didn't really say
well,
outright.
it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it makes it pretty obvious who she's with. I'm like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, but the two, yeah, having it like that is kind of. Amusing because they're both kind of creepy when you get down to it.
Yeah.
So, good pairing. Good pairing. Yep, but that's about it for Volume 5. This is definitely kind of one of those, one of the volumes where I think I started. I mean, I'd been reading up to this point, obviously, but this is where I kind of really started enjoying myself a lot more.
And when I started reading the chapters of this arc, I was like, oh no, a tournament arc. Oh no.
But at the same time, I was optimistic, but I did kind of get to the point where I was like, okay, this tournament arc has been going on for too long. And so,
Yeah.
yep. But, yeah, was there anything you wanted to say about this volume?
Well, to be honest, this tournament arc, even though we don't get the next volume until some months later,
so yeah, it'll be
is that that this tournament arc is actually pretty short because that's because it gets interrupted. I mean, that happened in One Piece, remember?
This is true. Well, yeah, true.
Now, see, no,
and with Toriko as
and it's
well.
Still going, but yeah.
Except the funny thing about Toriko with their tournament arc is they actually kept it a lot shorter, so
much
that was
shorter.
More bearable.
It's like cooking an island. I want to say they're cooking an island, but Monster's like, nah, use your imagination. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
That's actually a good way to get around. Instead of going, they fight, he fights, she fights, they fight. I mean, you know.
Yes, indeed.
I did Bleach never had a tournament arc is something I never quite understood myself.
That is kind of that is actually kind of unusual. Now that I think about it, but I guess the thing with Bleach is that there never really was an opportunity to do a tournament arc that wouldn't have been stupid. I mean, you probably could have done something like, I am the reincarnation of the greatest Soul Reaper ever, and I challenge everyone to a duel. Whatever, I don't know.
Or it could have been done when to introduce the Soul Society Reaper, you know?
Well,
there's so many of them, I mean, it wouldn't have hurt, but I guess
yeah.
It was better. Still, is it a rescue or tournament arc?
Yeah, that actually probably would have been a nice change, where instead of making a second rescue arc, we get a tournament arc instead. But anyway, I think we should probably move on from these chapters. But also, I just want to point out that the cover of Volume 5 of The Seven Deadly Sins perfectly illustrates why macrophilia is a thing.
Wait.
It's,
I need to look that up again.
Yeah, it's the one with it's the one with Diane on the cover with the tongue stuck out while Elizabeth is trying to pull Meliodas out of her boobs, out of her cleavage.
All right.
And so I'm like, there's a reason that fetish is a thing and you have just deftly illustrated it. But let us move on. Let's talk about this week's chapters for Week of Weekly Shonen Jump for issue number 51. And we are starting with the brand new Jumpstart series, chapter 1 of Takujo no Ageha, the Table Tennis of Ageha. And,
well, I think of Ageha, I think of the main character from Siren. That's the name, you know?
Yeah, already from the first page we get the hint that this will be a somewhat sexy manga, because we see this dude trying to convince the main character to stay in there, you know, to stay in Germany by showing him a picture of who would be his new fitness coach, which they just call Busty Betty.
And the picture of her is of her giving herself a selfie, and there's a table tennis racket
between
her cleavage.
It is,
and she's in a bikini.
No, that, well, yeah, actually, yeah, that is a bikini, huh?
But
no, yeah, and also she has a ping pong ball in her mouth. I feel like it's a metaphor for something, as is the paddle, but I'm not quite sure what. Anyway, moving on before we can think about that too much, we then meet our other main character, which is Ririka Otsuka, who is the daughter whose grandfather owns a table tennis center, and she hates table tennis because she's beautiful and popular and wants to be popular, and all the guys love her, but she won't date any of them because none of them are good enough, and she runs into Ageha when she says that table tennis is boring, and he's like, table tennis is cool. And then and then he just kind of brushes her off, and, you know, or, yeah, she, actually, no, she tries, starts off by saying, oh, hey, did you come to confess your love for me, too? And he's like, what, love? No, I'm in a relationship with table tennis. And she reacts poorly because, she reacts poorly because he rejected her. And that never happens.
She's never been rejected.
And then it turns out he's got some kind of ability to tell what will happen by saying how the guys that try to attack him will be taken out. And Yep. And then turns out he's new to the class that Rurika is in, and you have a fun moment where he acts where he, it seems like he's going to, like he's going to confess, but then he gives her a love letter. But it turns out it's actually his daily table tennis schedule. And she tries to seduce him by taking off her top and stripping into her
In
underwear, and
class.
I'm like, yeah, and I'm like, wait, what? And that doesn't work, except he Geiha totally gets a nosebleed. She's like, I'm not inter I don't care about girls. He's like shaking and this nosebleed, and everyone's like, I'd say he cares. And so
Strong.
yeah, and so of course Rika is infuriated because he refuses to be madly in love with her, and Geiha's like, I see, you wish to date me. And she's like, oh no. And then a dude that was formerly the head of the ping pong club, who's for Ririka's sake, said, hey, ping pong's dumb, and we shut down the ping pong club, shows up, and Ageha challenges him to a match, because of course that's what happens. Yeah, so basically they have their match, and it's the opportunity to show that how good Ageha actually is. And so yeah, he's pretty much the t it's the typical sort of sports manga sort of setup, where you'll take the main character and have it be ridiculously good. It's kind of like, it's basically like Prince of Tennis, you
Well,
know?
table tennis.
Exactly. And also the main character is more entertaining than the Prince of Tennis main character, because as serious as he is, it turns out he's also just as perverted as any other guy. He just tries not to act like it, and that's kind of hilarious.
I like that. I actually like that a lot more than, than the whole, oh, I don't like girls. And like,
And
okay.
then it's like, yes, you
So are
do.
you celibate? What's the word? Celibate? Or what?
Celibate?
You celibate or are you gay?
Neither,
I'm gonna assume
actually.
the former.
Not, yeah, no, he totally likes girls. But yeah, and then we find out that Rurika's granddaughter is actually a famous, one of the 13 champions during the golden age of table tennis, and he's also Ageha's teacher. And so,
I didn't catch that because the color spread actually made me think that the guy standing next to the so-called woman that's assumingly Busty Betty was going to be his coach, and
well,
I
we
was like,
assume that that guy's probably was one of the coaches in Germany,
probably.
But anyway, they continue the fight, and the match becomes more intense. But Ageha continues to win. And then yeah, we actually spend a surprising amount of time on the match, but it's also really interesting. It's like, it's really entertaining the way they pull that off, and I really like it. And then we after the after he wins, we see Ririka back in, back in her home, and her grandpa's like, oh, so you're finally interested in table tennis? Could it be you fallen for Geiha? And she's like, what, hell no. And then, of course, we get the narration of her. It's like, I'm Ruriko Tsuka, I'm a perfect, beautiful girl, but I have a secret, as she walks into the bath and and finds Ageha in there trying to fix a bunch of table tennis balls in a hot bath.
Why in the mom
And
bed?
then she, of course, she's wearing nothing but a towel, and she gets completely embarrassed, though one has to wonder why she'd be embarrassed there. But, since she didn't seem to have any trouble stripping, but whatever. But yeah, so she's like, oh, my innocence is tarnished now, I'll never be able to get married. And he's like, but your betrothed is right in front of you. It's like, allow me to introduce you to you, Ageha Hanazono, he's your fiance. He's like, wait, what?
He's lying there with no bleed.
Yeah. I think that is kind of hilarious. I really enjoyed this chapter, I have to say. It's
Was I.
it's a really fun setup. I mean, table ten it's a, I feel that, some more sports manga can be fun. They have the kind of appeal that fighting manga have. But, you know, the competition is replaced. Beating each other up is replaced with, you know, the competition of the sport. And I really enjoy what we're, you know, what we're being given here, in that it's, you know, it's a sport manga that actually manages to make table tennis seem interesting. And it also has an interesting setup, because you don't, that often you don't really see that the two main characters are engaged, really pulled off very often. I mean, it happened in Ranma and Half, and I'm sure it's happened in other manga, but honestly, that's the only one that I can think of. Nisekoi almost does it, except they're not, you know, they're not engaged. It's just their parents say, hey, you guys have to pretend to be boyfriend and girlfriend. It's not even, hey, you have to be pretend to be engaged. No, it's just...
Yeah, that's the thing I didn't like about what people were saying. Oh, it's like Nisekoi. I'm like, no. It's like Nisekoi with the whole that they're dating. No, this one's that they're actually engaged.
Yeah, right? No. Yeah, I don't think their grandpa cares if they pretend they're dating or not. It's just like, no, you're engaged. So, and
try to get out of that.
And after recent events, I'd have to say it is refreshing to have a manga that, in the first chapter, tells us, "Hey, guess who the main couple is going to be?" And we're not. I'm not going to pull any kind of bullshit. You know, I mean, honestly, we could have, even if it hadn't have been established that they are engaged, but you know, by her grandpa. You could still assume that them being the only two major characters, that if romance is going to come into play, it would be them. Because you tend to, you know, because the typical method is first girl that, you know, the main guy and the main girl in the first chapter are the ones that get together, which isn't always the case, because sometimes you have a series with Naruto where there is no girl in the first chapter, and from the very beginning it's introduced as, wait, he likes this girl, but this girl likes someone else, but this girl likes him, etc.
Yeah, there was, in issue 51, there was at the very end, there was this little Naruto interview that I want to mention, that it's the editor's fault for actually having the whole love, romance, rivalry thing.
That's
the editor, his first editor.
His first editor is a fucking idiot.
Yeah, Kishimoto's like, I never really did this before. I think he really shouldn't have done that in the first place if he was really unsure of it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, a good love triangle is difficult to do. And considering how many shonen manga authors go on about how they're bad with romance, maybe they shouldn't even try. It's surprisingly easy to make a good romance if you don't complicate it.
Yes.
So... But, yeah, that aside.
Yeah, there's Ninja Hagi. Yeah,
that aside. I mean, granted, with the whole main guy, main girl in the first chapter, it all depends on how they are, you know, how they are introduced. If the first chapter suggests that romance will even be a thing in the series, which the fact that we are introducing them as an engaged couple in the very first chapter, does suggest to me that, hey, them being engaged is going to be a thing.
Okay, what's funny is that the first chapter actually should pretty much give an indication of what we're going to expect with, you know, okay, it's about table tennis and sports, and look, the two main characters are actually engaged from the get-go, so it means romance is going to be a thing. Now, when I saw, I was like, "Hey, look! It's possible that after the failure of what Magical was, maybe it's possible to do something that's again that you do better."
Yeah, I do, but I do like the idea of a series that if it's going to do romance, does it keeps it simple. You know, I mean, there is something to be said for having the suspense of who will the main character end up with. You know. Will she choose Edward or will she choose Jacob? Or to cite a love story that is better than the crap Naruto gave us?
Mm-hmm.
No, seriously, I'm not joking. The Weekly Manga Recap guys brought this up in their latest episode, and I thought, that is a very good point. Anyway, moving on. But, you know, there is a certain thing to be said for that, but at the same time, I feel that with manga, unless it is unless romance is the main focus, I don't feel like they're that like it should be done like that, because the thing with a serialized story is it takes so much longer for a serialized story to get to complete than it does even for, you know, an entire book to be written and published and read. And so you have like several decades of like 2 decades or whatnot of wondering who is the main character going to end up with and being invested in it every week, and then if it turns out in a way you don't like, suddenly you end up really, really annoyed that you wasted so much time being
Even though the creator and the actual so-called serious readers say, what do you think you were reading, a romance? It's a shonen, romance doesn't matter. But now, I'm like, to me, if they put, whatever you put in there, pretty much determines to me that that is what they're going to focus on. Even though for Naruto, that was not in the first chapter, the editor practically said, hey, you should put this in the third chapter. The editor's at fault, too.
Yeah, well, but that's why I like, what I enjoy about Ageha is that it takes gives us an idea that, hey, romance will be a thing, we'll keep it nice and simple. Granted, he could later on say, even though they're engaged, they fall in love with other people, but typically in this situation, one is not wrong to assume that, that it will be those two will be together at the end of the series, you know? It's not unreasonable to assume that.
Yeah, and also, I would actually like to have a sports manga in our lineup for once, because, after the last one we had, the only other one we had...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, which that one, so good. But anyway,
I think... Also, Balls of Fury is a great ping pong movie to watch. It has Christopher Walken in it.
Indeed.
You can't dispute that.
Yeah. All right, but anyway, I think let's go ahead and move on to the next one. I think it is, let's go ahead and move on to the next chapter. It's time for Food Wars Shokugeki no Soma, chapter 95, Battle for the Season. And this one... Okay, let's see if we can remember properly. This one is basically him trying to figure out the best way to make his fish good. While at the same time the other guys are, you know, doing their things. There was an amusing moment where Kurokiba was, you know, kicks out these reporters, but previously he'd been all relaxed and was like, I never, whatever. They're like, are you sure he doesn't have a split personality? And I like how the build-up is, all between Kurokiba and, Akira Hazama? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Akira Hazama, it sounds like that, sounds like the magic chant from Little Nemo. What is it? Kazama Pajama.
Oh, yeah, that was to keep the sharks from... Wait, was that the one, the sharks?
No, not the sharks. It was to keep the Nightmare King from something. I don't know.
Oh. It's been
a while. But, yeah, anyway, we basically end it with him deciding that, Soma has figured out a way that he can... You know, that he can have fish that's more delicious than anything that's in season, but he needs the help of, what's the dude's name? Ibusaki and Ryoko. Right, yeah. Ibusaki being the one that rarely ever says anything, but...
The last name being Sakagi. Yes. Like a certain Sakagi.
Indeed. But, yep. And it was a good chapter. I mean, it's kind of one of those in-between chapters, not the most exciting part of the story, but at the same time, a lot to have fun with. And so, yeah, I enjoyed it. What did you think?
I like this. It's the whole preparation thing and showing that, you know, Soma doesn't just come up with things randomly on his own, as we all know. As we remember from the Battle of Mimasaka, he was just constantly... making the ingredients, he's just constantly perfecting the cooking, even up to the point of the final of the showdown.
Indeed.
So this one, he's doing the He's doing the same thing, but he's actually undersplit. Now he's finally like found out that, yeah, I can't just keep doing what I've been doing. That these two guys have their specialty. I need to find my specialty and just work with it.
Yeah, well, it's not, I don't think it's so much that he's developing his own specialty. I think it's rather that, you know, he's still kind of a, you know, a jack of all trades as far as cooking is concerned, but he's figuring out a way that he can defeat both of them, you know, on his own terms.
Yeah, that.
But yeah. Anyway, yeah, I think we should move on to the next chapter, which is One Piece chapter 767.
Yeah, we can't go on this too long either, even if we do like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one, yeah, we have to keep things short. But we also get the confirmation that Doflamingo did in fact murder his own father. I think one thing that was really interesting about the way the flashback was showing things was that on the one hand it was, you know, it still showed that, yeah, Doflamingo's a bad guy, but at the same time, he was, you know, with his background, he was made a little more sympathetic because, like, oh man, those horrible things that he went through, I feel bad for him. He couldn't possibly have actually killed his own father, you know? I mean, we all knew that he was going to do it, but at the same time, Oda manages to put together enough doubt that maybe he didn't. But in this chapter, he shows that, yes, he did. Doflamingo is just as massive a jackass as we thought he was in the first place. So I liked how Oda hinted at the very possibility of making Doflamingo more sympathetic, but then this chapter completely ruins that.
Oh my god, is that a young Virgo, like, with the piece of bread stuck to his side?
Uh-huh. And also we also get to see what's his face?
Trouble,
yes. Who seems to be involved with Doflamingo's decision to kill his dad. But then we go back from the gray flashback to the black flashback, jeez, and we see that one of these pirates is escaping. His name is Dree, and what's worth pointing out is that he has an X-shaped scar on his chin.
Gosh, I wonder who else has an X-shaped scar on his chin.
Exactly, and so at first I had no idea who this guy was, but then later on, I was like, oh my gosh, it's totally Drake, Diaz Drake. Which makes sense, because, you know, which I like that how Oda is slowly, he introduced all these characters with the supernova, but then he constantly, you know, gives us, you know, little bits of snippets of, hey, there may be something more to these characters, they're not just throwaway characters. And like with Law, from the very beginning, Law kind of came across as the, hey, he's the one that's important here, pay attention to him. But now we also get hints that Jewelry Bonnie is an important character. And now we're getting a hint with Drake being involved in this flashback. We're getting a hint that maybe he is involved in, maybe he's going to get fleshed out some more, which I think would be awesome, because one, he needs to be a more interesting character because he's a freaking T-Rex. So we need a little more.
I don't have to point that out.
We need a little more personality there, yo. Also, I just want to point out that Baby Five, whose nickname actually makes sense now, but I have to say that Baby Five is ridiculously adorable in the few panels that he's in here right now. I don't know what it is, but something about a little kid riding a big fat kid through the sky with a bow in her hair is adorable. I don't know why. Somehow Oda manages to do these things.
That is true. I think the bow did it, but yeah.
But yeah, we get to see a scene where with Law, where Doflamingo confronts Korra. And Law is locked inside a treasure chest, and you know, nobody's hearing him for some reason. And we also get the confirmation that that Korra was in the Navy. But, you know, so I guess my elaborate theory was not true. He was just
lying. Oh, well.
So, oh, well. Yeah, well, indeed. But, yeah, Law is like, all right, I already knew that. And you're like, yeah, it was pretty obvious. But, yeah, and then Yeah, he basically tries to trick Doflamingo, saying, "Hey, Laws, he's already eaten the op-op fruit, and he's already escaped. And he'll be under the protection of the Navy scout ship." And then Buffalo comes in and is like, "He's right. We picked up on a Navy call saying they were sheltering a boy." And Coral's like, "Wait, what? Oh, sweet." And then that's where Drake comes in, because he gets picked up by the Navy, and so they think, "Oh, hey, this kid that was picked up, that obviously must be Law." And so we find out that, of course, Doflamingo's plan was that he wanted to gain immortality by having the op-op fruit user sacrifice themselves for him. And so he's like, "All right, I'm going to find Law, and I'm going to raise him so that he knows to die for my sake." And Law is like, "Oh, geez, nuts to this." And then you kind of have to wonder why nobody's hearing Law, but then you get an explanation, because Korra made him made it so that Law doesn't make any sound. And of course we get the joke back with the ridiculous smile.
Smile.
And then he try and then of course Korra is an it doesn't shoot Doflamingo. It's Doflamingo that shoots him in yet another one of those silhouette gunshot panels. It's worth pointing out that anytime somebody is shot with a gun and it's a silhouette panel, that means they're dead.
Remember Belmare?
Yeah, happened to
Yeah.
her. Remember when Law got shot and it wasn't a silhouette, it was just straight up, you see Doflamingo standing over him and shooting him. He did
Yeah.
not die, so I can just imagine Law was laying there, was like, "Oh good, it's not a silhouette. Woo!" And yeah, so, and then, yeah, Korra's dying. The chest that Law's in is being carried away. Law manages to get out while nobody's watching, and he is crying and crying. And Korra's just saying, I have to stay awake. I have to stay alive long enough for Law to be able to get away. Otherwise, my spell will wear off, and they'll be able to hear him." And then, right as Korra is passing away, his power wears off, Law starts crying, or at least he continues crying, but now we can hear him, except Tsuru's battleship has shown up and is attacking them. So they are unable to hear him as the explosions happen and Law's walking away. This was a heartbreaking chapter. I don't know how Oda manages to do it, even though we know that which characters are going to die. At the same time, it's just like, ah, why? And all that. So,
Yeah.
fun times, fun times. But, yeah, this was, I mean, what else can be said? This was an absolutely fantastic chapter. This flashback has been amazing. I've actually enjoyed the flashback a lot more than I've been enjoying some of the recent chapters in the main story. And so,
True. Although I do kind of want to get back to the main story.
it's, I mean, I know, we do want to get back to the main story. We definitely want to see Doflamingo get his butt kicked, but still, at the same time, I'm like, ah, the flashbacks are so much more fun because they're so much more compact. They're a much tighter story. And so, but yeah, this was a pretty fantastic chapter. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Feel great. Make Korra rest in peace. And
Indeed.
yeah, the thing about him not being what I thought he would be, I was like, nah, anything possible. I mean, sometimes you can guess all the right, and I sometimes can't guess him right. But I'm probably not guessing him right
Yeah.
because that means, he always has more potential to just do something. And people are able to guess him right all the time. It would actually not be as entertaining.
Yes, I find that it makes sense to make the most outlandish predictions, because in the off ca chance that they turn out to be true, you look like a genius. But more often than not, if people listen to you often enough, that like, he may always makes the most outlandish predictions. Eventually, one is going to be right.
It's something to actually know then that one little panel of how Korra met Sengoku, like, holy crap, those Sengoku may have been the one who raised him or something.
It does seem to be most that is most likely, which makes sense why he would go
Wow.
against his brother. Well, that and the fact that his brother killed their father.
Yeah.
But anyway. Let's move on to Nisekoi chapter 147, Big Sis Yui, in which
she overworked herself.
Yeah, not that much content, honestly. I mean, they kind of, besides the school and then her bedroom, they don't really, that sounds dirty, they don't really go very far, you know. There's a lot, it's a lot of just explaining her backstory, Miss Knight, explaining her backstory, well, Yui's backstory about how she was always alone because her parents were busy. Then her parents died, and then she became the head of the Charsu. And yeah, so she became the leader, and she's always been working hard to the point where, but she's still so lonely, so she overworks herself. And yeah, it was an all right chapter. You get to see, you know, Raku telling her, like, oh, hey, we're family. I want to help you. And then we also see that her, you know, that her underlings are, you know, actually do worry about her. So, but at the same time, I'm always like, these are criminals. Stop painting them in a positive light, dang it. Because, I don't know, it's just so weird. It's like the way criminal organizations are treated in Nisekoi, it's less like these are ruthless, murderous criminals, and more like, oh, it's just an extended family business. They just, you know, please don't think about what they do to make their money. You're just like, this is always kind of weird whenever this pops up, but whatever, it's a lighthearted
kind of,
it's a lighthearted kind of world. It's kind of one of those places where people, even though people die, they don't, you know, die at the hands of others ever in this world. So I can kind of, you know, I can kind of somewhat ignore the ridiculousness of that, but at the same time, it's just like, you know, I bet that every one of those people in that panel has murdered someone. But nonetheless, it was.
And I bet they're all Chinese martial artists, because, you know, they're from
probably
China.
Well, they're a collection of Chinese stereotypes. So I'm just like, ooh, not PC, man.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure they don't go. Chinese people don't all go around wearing traditional medieval Chinese dresses and at the same time having the traditional Chinese braids in their hair or whatnot. But nonetheless, it was an all. What?
Nothing.
So you're going to say you hate something?
I hate the braids. Those hair braids.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
It's a long history of swords, but that custom was forced upon to the men, and even with the women with the buns, but yeah, it's something else. That's not even.
Yeah. Now I'm actually kind of curious, what's the traditional Cambodian hairstyle?
I don't know.
Don't even know your own culture.
I'm not that in tune with it.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, it's not like any of my ancestors had traditional hairstyles beyond the let it grow long and wild and flowing in the wind.
Oh, apparently the so-called Viking helm that people think is a Viking helm is actually not actually what the Viking helm were. It was actually something that came from an opera, and people just mistook that as an actual Viking helm from history, and decided to just put that as the portraying Vikings.
This is true. However, at the same time, I'm not sure how you made that connection between what was being said.
I don't know either.
Yeah, well, let's move on to Bleach, chapter.
The Yakuza and stuff make no sense in each other. Just roll with it.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. Bleach, chapter 605, Don't Call My Name. Well, we get to see that, I don't know, Ukitake and, what's his face?
Kyoraku,
that's it. They're up to something. And then we get to see the fight between, between Ichibe, Hyosube, and Ivach. And that's basically most of the chapter. It's Ichibe being a badass and actually using powerful magic, which nobody in this series has ever used powerful magic. It's just constantly them, I will cut you with my sword. I'm like, you dudes are sorcerers, basically. Throw a fireball or something.
It's really funny when I saw the two page, well, not two page, but like the two pages of the hand that you just push Ibakwe, and I look at it, I'm like, Golden Sun.
Yeah, I look at it and it's like, talk to the hand. And yeah, and he's kicking Iwatch's butt, but you know, Iwatch manages to reverse his direction by shooting himself with an arrow and whatnot, and then it ends with Ichiba being all, I'll just have to kill you. And I'm like, dude, threatening. I like this. This is good. Another! Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this is a good chapter. I enjoyed it. Overall. I mean, that's the thing. Bleach, what Bleach promises is good fights, and a lot of times it doesn't, you know, it doesn't actually give us those, but this was good. I liked it.
I agree, though. When it comes to Bleach, I think it's way better to read it in volume than to read it in weekly chapters, because I am just... I just want to just see the actual main heroes.
There is that, yes.
But I mean, we all know Ibaka's going to win some dang way.
Of course. That is kind of the problem with Bleach, is that it is kind of hard to take things seriously.
It's the formula. It's like, it's like these badass can go fight the actual... main villain, but they're not going to win because...
Yeah.
Like, weapon to Genryu's side, remember Genryu's side?
Yeah, and I think...
He was a jerk, though, so don't worry. It'll work.
Well, yeah. I think part of the problem is that a lot of times when it's obvious that the big bad is not going to lose against this secondary character, you just feel like it's a waste of time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which... I mean, granted, as long as the fight is good, then it's not a waste of time, but at the same time, one has to think, look, you could cut out a lot of stuff here if you just don't have this. I mean,
it would be nice if the secondary character defeated the main antagonist for the arc. Like, a little spoiler, Hunter x Hunter actually did that. I'm not going to say what arc or what that, or which character, but I read a bit about what people were saying. Oh, yeah, it actually does make sense.
Huh.
Some character just, you know, the main character isn't always overly powerful.
Yeah, I think, honestly, if it were me, what I would do is that I'd make it so that his underlings are, you know, so that it's his underlings that are defeating these other guys or getting defeated, you know, properly.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than have the actual big bad fight, because, and then have the main character show up, easily defeat the underlings, and then fight the big bad. But the problem with doing it the way it is now is that we have not seen any reason why Ichigo should be able to defeat Iwachi.
Nope.
No, I mean, with the Soul Society arc, you know, there it was like, oh, hey, look, Ichigo has to train to be able to defeat Byakuya. You know, there was actually getting him stronger. With Aizen, I can't remember what it is, but he got some sort of bullshit training to unlock his true power, etc.
3 months trained and lasted 3,000 years or something. I don't know.
Or something like that. Only lasted a couple seconds, but he trained like several months worth or something. I don't know. But the problem here is that I don't see that happening. I don't see any opportunity for that. And if that did happen, like exactly like it did with the Aizen arc, that would just be bogus.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we saw Joe, he was shooting into a cannon thing.
Yeah.
Here.
Maybe they will get training in the cannon.
The ultimate trainer, the cannon. Wait, what?
Yeah, Yorichi is just like, okay, I brought a training manual. Oops, this is the Kama Sutra. How did this get in here? Hey, Ichigo, you hold this and go sit next to Orihime. Wait, why? Oh, no reason. Just, I don't know. Get some ideas from that, you asexual twit.
Yes.
Anyway, let's move on to Hi-Fi Cluster Chapter 9. It's useless. Yes, it is. This series continuing is useless. This is just supremely uninteresting, and I hope that the people that voted for this feel like a bunch of putzes, because this
I've already felt like a bunch of putz when we were getting there.
This is awful.
But to be honest, even though Jufu was probably the best, would have been the best pick, at the same time, it still wouldn't have lasted long, and of course, Sporting Salt, that's he probably had, but I think in the order of what was better, it was actually Judo, Sporting Salt, and then this one.
Sporting Salt, yeah, I mean, the problem with Sporting Salt is that I'd forgotten what the third one was. I forgot that Sporting Salt...
The third one had to do with salt.
Yeah, so that one, it was kind of like, it's not leaving much of an impression, and this isn't quite... It was a little too flamboyant for me. Not that being flamboyant is bad per se, but it just didn't quite... It didn't quite go the way I wanted, and...
I will give Chapter 3 of Falling Salt this, though. It actually did remind me that salt is the reason why I've been feeling lackluster and energy these days too.
Yes, and I
salt and cracker belt.
I don't know why people voted for what's this called again? Hi-Fi Cluster.
Hi-Fi That's Cluster. Up. Yeah.
I don't know why people voted for this. I mean, this is the most standard, generic, boring piece of shit that could
ability powers.
Yeah, it's just like you could not get more standard shonen than if you made this series. That's how standard it is.
Mm.
I mean, Judo's, the thing with Judo's was that there were, I was freaking interested in it. I mean, you know, granted the whole, oh, Judo is the greatest thing ever was ridiculous, but at the same time, the author knew how to sprinkle in hints at what the future characters were going to be like. Just things were given to us that made us think, whoa, I want to find out about this, or this looks interesting. You know, we were asking questions, while with Hi-Fi Cluster, it's just, I have no questions other than, when is this crap going to end so I can finally ignore it?
It's yeah, just, so it's pretty obvious. So, yeah, just get back to the chapter.
Yeah.
Let's just say that it was pretty obvious that so-called Kandera friend was pretty much holding the Miyamoto Musashi ability label thing. I mean, we all called it. We all knew that.
Well, yeah, and we also find out that there's someone else. We meet the creator of the whatchamacallits, and at the end of chapter 9 and then through the beginning of
Label.
Chapter 10. Yeah, the creator of labels. Oh my gosh, this is so amazing! This dude has labels all over his body, and he is the one that invented it. I don't give a flying goddamn fuck.
Yeah, I was like, okay, when I saw the main so-called bad guy appear, I was like, okay, yeah. This dude is getting axed.
It's like, imagine if Aizen had showed up in chapter 10 of Bleach and been all, yeah, I am the one behind it all! And we would have been like, behind what? It all! It was like, no, seriously, what? Yeah. What is going on? I don't know what's happening. Why are you, Mr. Evil Person? Why are you relevant? That's how I feel with this. Why is this jackass relevant? It's like, I don't understand why this is supposed to be, why the author thinks this is interesting, you know? Because I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, this feels like something that should have happened in like chapter 50. Mm-hmm. Not even chapter 50. This is, we don't know enough about the world. We're not invested enough about the world. We have not heard anything about the labels besides they give you abilities and some are more powerful than others. So the fact that we suddenly learn the creator of it, well, this is just the move of someone that knows their freaking terrible series is going to be canceled.
Yeah.
And so it's like, and the dude's always like, oh, I'm going to start a revolution. And I'm like, mother, it's freaking Sasuke all over again. Somehow this guy is some kind of manga genius because he has managed to compress the decades of hatred I had for Sasuke into one chapter.
See, I told you guys that the last two chapters of Naruto was a bad way to end because now we got people going, oh my god, this is so amazing, Naruto is so amazing, I'm going to try and do something like this.
This is an absolutely awful series. The characters aren't interesting, the abilities, while creative, are not that interesting. The setting isn't that interesting. The villains are not interesting. This is awful! Why did you idiots vote for this? We got three chapters that should have been, I already knew that this wasn't going to be interesting. I mean, I didn't hate it.
The third chapter didn't really sink in that well for me either.
Well, yeah, but it's like, I didn't hate it after three chapters, but at the same time, I'm like, this seems kind of boring. Let's vote for something else. But then, we get this, and we're like 10 chapters in, and already I'm like, this person is an idiot.
Well, remember,
do not let them write anything else.
Remember Barrage. I'm not trying to compare it to Barrage. Remember how Barrage was going to end, we didn't realize it ended in like, what, 15 chapters? And then it brought in the antagonist that we...
It is kind of that problem, but if this series lasts longer than Barrage, then I'm gonna, like, there's something wrong with manga readers. You people need to stop reading manga and go read actual books and actually learn what good stories are, because you obviously can't recognize them in frickin' manga. Go
yes,
away.
Yes, I know. This stings me, too, yeah. Because I was the one that voted for him.
Yeah, go away and let us have good manga without your terrible opinions infecting what is otherwise a good art form. I mean, good grief, this is terrible. And this is the bullshit that ended up making it into here instead of either of the other two series that would have been much better. And so, jeez. It's like, you know what? I'm going to start reading the Judo Scanlations because just to spite them. Because it's like, you idiots allowed this crap to be voted in. Okay, fine. You know what? The series that you could have put in, I'm going to go read it and you're not getting any of the money. Because you obviously don't know how to actually determine what's good manga. I mean, jeez.
True. Well, you know, this is like the first jump start, you know, start thingy. So they didn't really, well, we didn't really all have an idea of how it was going to work. And
well,
sometimes, you know, when something's new, you get a little excited and you adjust.
Well, that's the...
I did try to use my brain at the time. I just thought I saw potential in my cluster, and I realized, you know, there's something about this that just doesn't feel like it's really... It's another world trigger, but it's not even trying to be another world trigger.
It's not good.
It's not even a world trigger. That's the bad part.
It's like, what? Jeez. Look, if something is generic and bland, don't vote for it, you morons.
Yeah, I wish this one had actually been in the, you know, the current jump starts that we have now. I mean, the three titles that we're going to have, we've already read Takujo no Ageha. The next one for next week would be E-Robot, and the one after that would be Gakyu Hote by the acclaimed Obata, which I believe is definitely going to make it in, because I just know it is. Even though the thing about that one is that it's rare, unique genre, compared to the middle, which is considered to be edgy from the title, and the one that we just read, which is the sports manga, it's great, but
I don't trust manga readers anymore. If you people can't recognize what's good and what isn't, then good grief. Don't let the readers decide what stays in. They obviously don't know what they're talking about. Hey, people that are paid to know what good manga is, maybe you should take a little more... Maybe you should use your manga brains and actually decide what stays in and what doesn't, because the readers obviously can't be trusted.
But you see, this survey thing has always been happening even before they gave us overseas a chance at it. With the Japanese readers.
Well, yeah, but
I've been doing
this
day in, day out. And also, I don't want to compare to actual books. In a way, book sales do determine if the author can actually continue writing the book if they want to or not, or move on to something else.
That's not the point. When there are people whose job it is to determine what is actually worth our time, then I want them to do that job. It's like allowing the readers to decide what stays and what doesn't is like self-publishing. You can decide whether you want to support something, and if it turns out to be bad, you have no one to blame but yourself. But here, I have somebody to blame besides myself, everyone else, because this crap is being forced on me instead of the other stuff that was actually had potential to be good. So,
yeah.
Anyway, let us...
How the Hi-Fi Cluster even make it into the jump start?
I don't know. It's a piece of garbage.
Okay, let's move on to Toriko chapter. This
301.
King at play.
It's amusing. It's amusing enough. You get to see that the Monkey King does this thing where he'll pick up a mountain and throw it across the ocean, and it will skip. And as it's skipping over the ocean, it gets worn down until it comes right back and hits the Monkey King, and that's his way to pass time. Also,
actually, what's funny is how come that mountain actually didn't hit something on the way?
I guess he's
over the sea.
I guess he's really good at aiming. But nonetheless, it's amusing. And the Monkey King looks so weird, so really weird. But Yeah, then we get an explanation for, you know, what soup is, what pear is and all that. And well, not yet actually what it is, but you know, just sort of like an explanation of blah blah blah, blah stuff. Let's explain this world. Oh, hey, look, we're already there. Yay. Yeah, it was all right, I guess. I don't know. Toriko has been kind of in a it's been in a bit of a slump, you know.
It's been very creative. I'll give it that. It's just been so creative. It's like, holy crap, man, give me a break. It's like, this bird tree is so and so, and this Sundoriko plan is so and so. I'm like, okay, you could just say it could do this and not go into detail and narration.
I don't know. I just think in general the series has been suffering. It's
We'll probably skip after probably to area 7. We'll just skip to like area 2 or 1 and all. Area 2 or 1. All of a sudden, oh, we're almost done.
Yeah, I don't know. Toriko is has been yeah, the slump has left me less than enthusiastic for it. But let's move on to World Trigger Chapter 83, where we meet Kasumi Mikumo, age 39, Osamu's mother.
Give her the A so we know how she is.
Yeah. And she tells him that a bunch of different people visited, and she just kind of describes them, and he thinks of what they look like. And we get to find out that, what's her face? Oh, geez, what I forget. The very polite young lady.
Hi, Kitoro.
Kitora, that's it. She's back to normal, apparently. And so, yeah, and then you get a fi and then Usami shows up, and she's a bit sleep deprived because she's been working nonstop apparently.
I thought he
And
was drunk.
yeah, and I have to say the disheveled look works for her. I don't know why. It just it's a really fun little design that they've got going there. But we basically find out everyone that gets the you know, the special awards and whatnot. And then we get a visit, and then yeah, Yuma shows up and tells us something. Oh, I don't feel bad about, you know, about
Replica.
replica. Yes, that thing that I don't really care about. But yeah, I guess Shiori has been investigating and says, "Oh, he must still be alive, so we just need to get him back." And then, yep, and then we come
Even
back
though
and.
we saw him explode,
Yeah.
happen explode.
And then we see Kurosawa, one of the executives, shows up and says, "Hey, Osamu, can you come take a walk with me? I got permission from your doctors." And that ends that there. So.
You're not gonna mention the panel where his where Osamu's mother mentioned something between him and about him and Giga.
Oh, yeah, I guess there was
That was
that. She
funny.
mentioned something that. Let's see, what was it? Oh, where was that?
That's like the very beginning.
Oh yeah, it's like Chika didn't cry for you. You turned intimate enough. Apparently, she wants to hook her son up with Chika,
It's like her brother's gone. I think not a good time.
which is kind of amusing. But so
Keep the
if
bloodline going. Wait, what? Mom.
what? No, if I don't know. I guess it will be kind of amusing to see if romance does play a big part in this series or comes into this series, and between who the romance is. I do think that I'm looking forward to it a little bit because his mom's, Kasumi's reaction would be amusing, I find. And so, but yeah, it was a good chapter. I mean, it had good moments. You get to meet his mom, got to find out that she apparently is trying to play matchmaker. We get to see Usami in her sleep-deprived form, which is kind of an adorable character design,
I like
and
it.
we also get to have the emotional, sort of like, you know, fallout with Osamu just crying because he's like, "Oh, I blame myself," blah blah. But yeah. Anyway, next thing we get the Naruto interview, which we're skipping. We're fucking skipping that bullshit.
I just want to point out that it was actually his very first editor who was responsible for giving us that chapter 3, and which led to all that bull crap we got. Yeah, thanks, Yahagi. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yes,
You created a monster.
Naruto Chapter 3, Enter Sasuke,
Tell me that.
the decline of a passable manga. Yeah, we're not reading that shit. And that's pretty much it. That's those chapters. So let's go ahead and Let's.
You know, I think we keep losing. I think we just keep losing people because we keep saying we hate Naruto so much. I think they want to not talk or even hear about that.
I don't. Well, okay. I was about to say I don't want people that like Naruto listening to my stuff.
Oh yeah, good point.
But then again, I guess. All right, people that hate Naruto
I'm
as well, but
to
don't want
nice.
To hear it anymore. But anyway. Let's see, Assassination Classroom. What chapter are we on?
Chapter 108.
108.
Because I remember.
Yes, that one, let's see what happened in that one again. That was the one where...
I only remembered a little bit at the very end. I don't remember much because...
Oh, jeez, yeah.
My memory is just shot.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, I think I remember. This is the one where the God of Death finds that the cage is empty.
Yes.
And then
yes.
We discover that, no, it's not empty. They've just hidden themselves.
Very, very well.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, we kind of move on. You've got him trying to find them, finding Irina, and then Irina reveals that, oh, hey, by the way, I'm on the good guy's side again. And then Karasuma grabs him and knocks him into this giant hole with water, and they land at the bottom, and the God of Death's face falls off, and it turns out that he cut his own face off so that he could more easily apply fake faces to it. And he looks like a Grim Reaper right now, and so now they fight.
Dun-dun. That's very fitting. God of Death, Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
Grim Reaper. Also, that one page with... No.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, when Karasuma takes off his shirt to help bandage her broken arm, and she's just like nosebleeding. He's like, "Oh, are you all right?" And she's like, "No, I'm just a little overstimulated." And he's like, "Shut up." that was kind of hilarious. I like this chap. I mean, this storyline has been a lot of fun because it's been focusing on Irina and Karasuma, who are both, I find, quite possibly the most interesting characters in this series.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to the next chapter. But for now, let's move on. Let's talk about Fairy Tail chapter 409. What happened in 409? I don't remember.
Stinging Robot. What's his name? Or what happened in that chapter?
I don't know.
This is terrible. I am just bad at this.
Yeah. Let's see. Wait.
You're the one with the magic memory. You do it.
Not the magic memory, the magic membership. It's basically... It's
magic membership.
Yeah, it's 409. It's very unmemorable. It's them fighting the Bork generic demon. And
yeah, there you go.
Natsu and Gray. And though I do think the way he kind of just flies through this corridor and just scraping their faces against the side, I'm like, oh, geez. And one thing that I have to point out while reading this chapter, and I mean, there's also the fight between what... the former leader of Sabretooth and Sting and Rogue, and they're saying about blah blah blah, friendship is awesome, we will defeat you with friendship, also magic, but magic is friendship, no, friendship is magic, ha ha.
There's a Mashima, just freaking do a crossover of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. I will just throw money at you.
Yeah, well, not necessarily.
No, I won't, not
we
kidding.
But other people might, but nonetheless, it while reading these past few chapters, I keep thinking, you know what, I should catch up on the anime, because I bet this is a lot better in the anime.
Yeah.
Because you know? it's very much like, it's a fight, but at the same time, we need music, we need movement, we need color to really feel this fight.
You like your Celtic music, don't you?
You're damn right. Best soundtrack of any anime. But nonetheless, it's... Yeah, other than that, this is kind of a boring...
Oh, yeah, it's okay. So this chapter, Sting and Rogue fight, what's his name? Gienma, whatever his name is changed to now. And, of course, Natsu and Gray fight Margear, who turned into his true form.
Which is boring. I mean, I don't know. It just feels like...
It's a fairy tale. I can't really enjoy it.
Yeah, it feels like Mashima is dried up creatively, you know?
Yep.
Like, it feels like he needs to take a step back and try something different, which that is kind of one of the problems that I think manga suffers from, is that you do it for so long that eventually the creator is going to die out, dry out creatively.
Yeah, because, I mean,
the way an author works, even if they're working on the same series every time, you know, it's not like they're constantly, it's not like they constantly have a weekly deadline that they have to hit and they have to think up of a good story and write it in less than a week's time. You know, you get time, you write the book, you get time between when you've written the book and while it's getting edited and when you need to sit down and start, you know, writing the next one. And even if you're writing in the same series, there's still a break that you get. So it's just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. It's, you just kind of feel like something needs to be done to fix the creative schedule. But anyway,
it's like, yeah, it's like you said, Mashima did dry out in his creativity, because if you ever read Raid, yes, the art can be very unsettling to handle, because this is before the age of computers became a really big thing in art and technology and stuff.
Yeah.
So he was just drawing out by hand all the time. And let me just say, this guy did everything by himself when he did that, when he did that series. So yeah, there's no excuse for those other guys who, you know, have no assistance and can't do anything by themselves. But with the story of Raid, there was actually lots of tension here and there at times. With Fairy Tale, the tension, I think it's just Mashima gets way too attached to his characters. He doesn't want to kill them.
Yeah, he
just doesn't want to kill. I mean, he had so many chances to kill. So far, he wants to have Harvey die. The ones that died are Simon, the magic council that we won't give a crap about because they were jerks anyway, and, I guess Hades, and,
she's closer to death than any of them at the moment.
That's true.
No, but, you know, the problem, this is kind of a problem that a lot of manga have, is that it becomes about the characters, not about the story, which is good and is important in certain ways, but the problem with that is that sometimes you have to do things to the characters that are not good for the characters but are good for the story, and that means, you know, that's what it comes down to, you know, that's why, you know, sometimes characters have to die. But with this case, it's like, you know, the writer doesn't want to do that. The readers don't want them to do that because they want the characters to stick around, and in doing this, the story suffers.
It would have been nice if Fairy Tale died 7 years ago. You know, the actual main cast, and then we had a new one. It was strange. I mean, even a few of them live, but still.
I don't know. Honestly, I just want a manga to have, like, a bog-standard shonen action series, and then right around the time when things start getting stale and boring, there's like a time skip and suddenly the new characters are like the next generation, the kids of the main characters, which Dragon Ball did somewhat, and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure did, but nobody's really done it since. But anyway, let's talk about The Seven Deadly Sins, chapter 104, The Fairy King's Return, where, Bon is going to the fairy forest and King is like, what? No way. So he follows him. And they end up, kind of just walking and talking, and then turns out that Jericho was following them as well. And so, apparently she has a thing for Bon still, because, you know.
She took her clothes. She doesn't actually remember that one time.
Yeah. Though, honestly, I will have to say, if we're going to have a pairing, I think Bon and Jericho would probably be a little less creepy than Bon and Elaine. Even though she is a lot older.
But she looks like a child in appearance because it's fairy. Why can't she just, you know?
It's creepy. I mean, it's just honestly creepy. But anyway, they continue onward and they... they just basically all talk. They get into a mist and then they discover that the Fairy King's Forest is back and... Yeah. King is all, oh, wow, that's so awesome. And then the fairies are there, and they're like, oh, the Fairy King. And he's like, oh, look. King is all, oh, hey, look, you guys are still alive, yay. And then when they see them, they're like, hey, screw you, you traitor. He's like, wait, what? Like, oh, yeah, everything that happened is your fault because you left 700 years ago. And at the same time, you're just like, hey, screw you, fairies. I'm going to pluck your wings off myself, you bunch of jerks. You didn't see what happened. You know, don't you know that if you leave the forest, suddenly time passes a lot faster for you or just something, or your sense of time is weird? But anyway, they all say that the Fairy King is now Bon, which is hilarious because I'm like, Oh yeah, he's totally a fairy. But anyway, it was an all right. It was a fun chapter. There was a lot of talking, but that moment where the fairies see King, and after he's so happy that everyone's still alive and they all hate him, and I'm like, oh, King, no. So sad.
He left on a journey to go and save his best friend and the other captured fairies. It wasn't,
Exactly,
yeah.
yeah. It's like, so shut up, you
And they're like,
stupid fairies.
you left us alone, and you left us alone, and the lady protected us for the last 700 years, and then she died. And I'm like, yeah, you guys stay in your safe little cave, little crib until other people grab you, and then you go, oh my God, save us, save us. I hate these fairies.
Indeed.
Except King. King is cool.
Yeah, the fairies are annoying. I'm like, man, you guys are jerks. No wonder, suddenly I don't hate those humans that tore your wings off so much. You guys were probably assholes to them too. But yeah, anyway, I think that's about it. Is that all the chapters? Cool. Let's see. Yes, let's go ahead and wrap things up then. This has been episode, what episode was this?
Let me check. Oh crap, what episode was this?
122. It was episode 122.
We're not professionals.
What? No, we aren't. No. Yes, we are. No, we aren't. Anyway, it was for the week of, what was it? November 17th? That's it.
Yes, 17.
2014. This week we went over Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 5. And we also talked about manga. But let's go ahead and go over the author comments, shall we? First,
Okay,
we
cool.
have Takujo no Ageha, Itsuki
Furuya.
Furuya. My first serialization. I'll work my hardest so that as many people as possible can enjoy the series.
The foo is a soft sound. You go foo, you foo. It's like
I
blowing
pity.
through your. Yes.
I pity the fool,
Foo.
Ruya.
The foo. Anyways.
Yes.
Food war, Shun Saiki, because I want to say Shoki no Soma, but whatever, they're putting that title. Might as well say it.
Indeed.
It's almost time for my ferret to get its winter coat. It's so puffy. I can't wait. Puffy. Wait, you have a ferret?
Apparently, that's kind of cool.
Cool.
But yeah. But yeah, anyway. One Piece is Eiichiro Oda. I participated in Halloween for the first time. My house is so full of party items that creating a costume was no sweat.
Oh my God, wish I knew what you dressed up as.
I know, right?
Probably not a One Piece character.
Probably not. Probably something
Probably.
crazy.
Yeah.
You know him.
All right. Yeah. All right. Next up, Nisiko's Nanashi Komi. An old fan created a series of stamps called Kodo Junkyu for the instant messaging line app. If anyone's interested, please check it out.
Bleaches, Tite Kubo. I cut my hair really short, and now, and when I look in the mirror, I say, "Who's that?"
Hey, I cut my hair really short too, actually, just recently.
I didn't. My
Because
flowing locks.
it was driving me crazy with the sideburns in my face. I mean, sorry.
I have no sideburns. My hair is eternal. Where one ends, the other begins. What's the next one?
I fight cluster.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's my turn, right?
Yes.
I fight cluster's Ipe Goto. It's getting cold, so I've added another blanket, but now my bed's so comfy that I can't get up.
That explains a lot. Anyway, Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. I had Nabe hot pot at home for the first time in a while. It's the best. I'm gonna have it every week.
You gotta have chimichanga. Chimichanga, delicious.
Mo,
What? I'm
there
kidding.
are certain things that happen in your brain that do not become obvious when you speak. You need
All
to make
right.
the connections, yo.
It says hot pot. Chimichanga's hot. Eat food. Oh my God. But Deadpool. Oh
Mo.
man, you guys don't get it. Anyways, World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. I received a lot of stress relief items from my fans and staff. Time for some relief.
Indeed. All right, it's time for the rankings. Oh, this is a good question. A good question indeed. Okay, fourth place, World Trigger.
Okay.
What's your fourth place?
Okay, my fourth place is. Yeah, World Trigger. World Trigger.
All right, third place, I will say Food Wars.
Third place? Yeah, Food Wars too.
Uh-oh. Second place, Takujo no Ageha?
Yeah, I must have wanted that to be first, to be honest, but.
If it were any other week, it would have been first, but yeah. This One Piece is first again because this chapter was phenomenal.
I rate Takajo no Ageha on in the survey 10 out of 10.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's fantastic. But yeah, and of course, what was your one, number one? Haha.
It has Korra in it, who died.
Oh no, the Avatar is dead? No!
Actually, this is the last season of Legend of Korra. Actually.
I know.
So, because the creators actually they want to move on from it to do something else. I understand that. It's actually good of them.
Also, they want to not have to deal with Nickelodeon ever again. Because Nickelodeon is bullcrap. Anyway.
Then shippers are crazy.
Yes, that too. But anyway, I think we are through here. That is everything that we needed to go over. So just remember, folks, send emails to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com if you have any comments, or go to burninglizardstudios.com and leave your comments on the website. But for now, I think it is time for us to wrap things up. So we will see you next week. And just remember, the manga is always better.
Enjoy your Smash Bros. Wii U and Pokemon Omega Red and whatever one they're gonna call it.
I've bought none of these.
My eye.